I'd like to invite Dharma Master Hung Shun
homage to all the Buddhas of the 10 directions and 3 periods of time. So originally I had this kind of a long, elaborate lecture prepared, but I thought maybe, given the circumstances, I'd maybe just tell some couple stories about the earlier, kind of the how our relationship first develops here with the monks at Abaya Giri. First, I was thinking of the, I think a lot of you are familiar with the sutra in the Pali Canon, in which the Buddha, actually Ananda, goes before the Buddha and said, "Buddha, I think the holy life, 50% of the holy life is having good friends." And actually the term in Sanskrit is kalyana mitra, good friends. And the Buddha said, "Ananda, it's not 50% of the holy life, but 100%. And so I think of you know, our good friendship with the disciples, you can say, of Achan Cha, and the disciples of Master Hua. And who gave the name Abaya Giri? Was it Smedo or Amaro? Okay.
Ajahn Amaro.
So, I'm sure Amaro's going to talk a lot more about this tonight, later. He probably knows a lot of details about the history of Abaya Giri. But you know, in the 2nd century BC, it was founded, you know, in Sri Lanka, the original Abaya Giri Vihara in Sri Lanka, and later developed into a monastery that had both the Theravada and Mahayana together. So even Master Xuanzang, who, you know, visited India in the visited India from China in the 7th century, he, in his records, he says that Abaya Giri Vihara has Mahayana Theravadins. I think technically he said Mahayana Stavitas, which is, you know, the Theravada, the last existence school, and the Stavita school is a Theravada. So I think that, was that your idea? Kind of. Okay. Wonderful. Wonderful. And so I remember Master Hua used to tell us, when I first came to study with him from Thailand, as I'll get to some of the early history in my stories when I finally get to them, he said that Mahayana is just too big. It's got to be a little bit more humble, not so big about itself, and Theravada has to kind of expand itself a little bit, and then we can get together more easier. So, I go back, I go to early with, back in 1973, I was in Thailand, and I moved from a monastery called Wat Mahathat. And I think Wat Mahathat, when I was there in 73, Mahaprasat, they used to have the Saturday, Sunday market, and used to flow over into Mahathat, right into the monastery. And so it was a really kind of an unpleasant experience. I was very young, as one of those hippie globetrotters, kind of searching for the truth. And so I went from Mahatat to this other monastery called Wat Plang Vipassana. And guess who I met there? Achampasana, but he was also not yet a monk. And there was a monk from Michigan named Damodaro. Remember Damodaro? A monk from Germany. There's several Western monks at this monastery in Wat Plang Vipassana, which was in a suburb of Bangkok. You had to take a ferry boat to get to it from Bangkok. So we all became good friends, especially myself, Champasano, another person later became Titignano from France. So one day me and Titignano, again, none of us are monks yet, we went out, we come back, and there's this former guy with long hair from Canada, Pisano, shaved his head. He said, "What's going on?" Now, I don't remember him saying it was a temporary 3-4 month thing. I think he did say it was temporary, though. So we were friends going way back. And later I became a novice at another temple, Waparunive. So that's one little story. That's the first story. The second story, I got to correct Dharma Salu. Achan Sumedho first met Sherfu in early 1980s. That's another story, but I got another story before that. Okay, so 73, at the same time, I was at Wat Plang, I was probably already at Wat Parinive, and I got to visit Achan Cha. So if anybody, how many people have read the book Venerable Father by the Four Warapanyo? Okay, now Paul Breiter. So there I am, I visited in 1973, my host was the author, who's Warapanyo then, took care of me just to visit. I was a lay person. Stayed for a little bit less than a week. I stayed in the kuti of Anando, Anachan Anando, who was a novice then. And actually, his kuti was on these stilts, and I stayed down below where all the stinging ants are. And he got stung by a scorpion, I remember. Probably from serving in the Vietnam Wars. That's what he thought at the time. But anyway, so then I meet Achan Cha. He had been away at a branch monastery. So all these Western monks, there must have been 15 to 20 Western monks, and this is 73. And so he comes back at night, and all these Western monks are asking all these questions, and Warapanyo's kind of translating for me what the questions were. And so they're really excited to see Achan Cha. But then he keeps us up like 2, 3, 4 o'clock in the morning. And if you read Venerable Father, sometimes he'd keep him up all night. And it was just this very, very imposing, very strict, very straightforward, and very challenging. And so, I really, I had the good fortune of meeting him, but I was actually planning, my whole plan was to become a monk in the Dhammayut order, and then study with Achan Mahabua. Sorry. Okay. But then I came back to America. I after being a novice, I found out about Master Hua, and I felt that he was my teacher. So fast forward to my next story, Achan Sumedho. So Achan Sumedho is visiting America. It must have been, I think, 82, 83, something like 81. That. 81. 81, huh? Good. Thank you. Boy. It's good. I had the years messed up in the early days of Abhaya Gary too, and he was correcting me earlier. So 81 was Achan Anando and Achan Sumedho. They visit the Ogo Mountain Monastery, not the present one in Chinatown, but I call it the Ladida Monastery in Chinatown. We had this old mattress factory on 15th Street. It was rough and rugged days of Go Mountain. And so I visited, and I wasn't there. I was out doing something. And so the master senior attendant, Hung Guan, was translating for Master Hua on the second floor of the monastery. And I had come back, and then Anando, Achan Anando, asked, "Hey, is there a monk here from Chicago?" And then the master said, "Oh, go get Hung Shen." And I come up there, and the master starts scolding me, and it, kind of in a joking way, reminded me so much of Ajahn Chah. He starts going, he goes, oh, when he was in Thailand, he was just goofing around. He was going out smoking dope and, you know, doing, you know, and what's amazing is the chants made on Ajahn Anando, you can see that they had this connection with the master. It was just like Ajahn Chah. He was so much like him. Very straightforward. No, didn't mince words. So that's when Smedo first met the master. It was in 81. Okay. So then I was going to fast forward to other stories, but you've kind of, I'm sure, mentioned them. You mentioned in 91. We visited in 1990. We spent a week in England at Amaravati. And You're wrong there. I got you. It's 1990. I got the documentation in my bag. I was a master's attendant. It was 1990. For sure. Why? Okay. I wasn't going to tell this story. But in 89, I went to Taiwan. And I was a master's attendant then, too. Master Hua's attendant. I asked if I could go to India. So sure, for you know, we're in Taiwan, we had like entourage of about 20 monks and nuns. This involves the Ajahn Pisano too. And we were giving lectures in Taiwan. And I said, sure, for can I, you know, so close to India, can I go to the holy sites when we're done with the lecture tour? And he said, yeah, take two other monks, Hung Chi and Hung Chang. And then we had an overnight, a day and a half in Thailand, and we went up to visit Wat Pa Nanachat, where I hadn't seen Pisano in like 15 years. 15 years, yeah. And I remember we took an early morning train. Of course, the taxi guy at the train station knew where we wanted to go. Dropped us off right at the monastery. And you were just coming. I don't know if you remember this. We hadn't seen each other in 15 years. You didn't know we were coming. There's no cell phones or emails or anything. And you just can't. You had, you happened to be coming out. You had already done the Bindabat. And you go, oh, hi, how are you? Like we hadn't seen each other for a couple of days. Still remember that. I don't even remember that. Okay, so where are we now? Okay, so I was going to mention our trip in 1990. Was 90. Okay. And then, of course, Dharma Master Lu mentioned the ordination in 91. I'm the one who asked if we could invite Ajahn Pisano, okay? I asked the master. Because also, you know, who else invited them too was the person who trained me in Waparanive, Kantipala.
Kantipala. Yeah,
was there too. So let's see. I think that's, everybody, I'm sure said it so well. The recent history you just heard very well. Dharmasa Lu mentioned it. Dharmasa shares very well. Said it very well. I just wanted to talk about the early days. And but one thing, you know, this idea of the, you know, the good friend, the good spiritual friend, and really it's pretty amazing what you know, the fact that our communities get together so well. And it really is like we're Mahayana Theravadas or Theravadas Mahayanas. We're, you know, we follow the same precepts, except we're vegetarian, and everything else is the same. But everything else is the same. And there's actually, I have my students now, and I was going to end on this, a quote from a sutra. I'm going to try to recite it from memory. If I mess it up, please correct me if you know the Mata Sutta. You know the Mata Sutta? Mm-hmm. Mother Sutra. What I do is I have my students now. I teach, you know, in our high school at City of 10,000 Buddhas. And I have a first period in the, our school day, we have a meditation. And I have about maybe 35, 7th and 12th grade students. So before we meditate, because I've taught them a lot of the, you know, traditional mindfulness of breathing, loving kindness meditation. So I have them recite this passage from the, it's called the Mother Sutra, as a foundation for developing loving kindness. And I think it's even like, to me, this sutra, and it's a Pali from the Pali. It's not a Mahayana sutra. It paints a vision of the, kind of the whole world, all living beings being good friends with one another. you know, not just the Theravada Mahayana, not just the two, you know, main Buddhist communities, or even Master Hua would say wanting to unite all religions, but all living beings. And the sutra goes like this. Do you know it? It goes, okay, Achavasti. I'll try to sing it the way I do in the class. Achavasti, the Buddha said, Bhikshus, samsara is without beginning. For beings fettered by ignorance and for beings hindered by ignorance and fettered by craving, a beginning point cannot be known for their transmigration in samsara. A being who has not been your mother at one time in the past is not easy to find. A being who has not been your father at one time in the past is not easy to find. A being who has not been your brother at one time in the past is not easy to find. A being who has not been your sister at one time in the past is not easy to find. A being who has not been your son at one time in the past is not easy to find. A being who has not been your daughter at one time in the past is not easy to find. And that's what we recite. Then we have some additional passages on loving kindness. But in this idea, and it's, you know, Buddha said in the Pali Canon that all of us have had this close relationship in past lives. So obviously we should all treat each other with great, great loving kindness. And that's, to me, the big vision for Buddhism in the world. And as we say in City of 10,000 Buddhas, Amitofo.
No, Amitofo. Amitofo.